Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome to 2023, everybody. This is the first midweek howl of 2023.
Maybe the last, the way it goes, yeah.
Maybe the last.
First and last.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
So for all of our listeners that are in the howlers age range, you guys will understand. I'm sitting here and the howler calls me. But I can't if I accept his call on Skype.
Now, you didn't give him the backstory. The backstory is he texts me.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I was going to give the backstory how we text each other, are you ready, about five times. And either one of us ain't at the computer or one of us don't answer. Or like me, I've got within an arm's reach of me, I've got two desktops, and two iPhones, and one iPad, maybe two iPads. So it takes me a second to see which one's ringing. And what happens is if I'm signed in, my phone, my desktop, my laptop will all ring at the same time, and I want to do it on my desktop, so it takes me a little. And I'm usually got, like right now, I'm negotiating one of these little cleaning things to clean my glasses off because I can't see. So he is calling me to see if I'm ready, and I wasn't ready because I was upstairs making a drink and eating some M&Ms, and then he texted me back and said, are you ready yet? And I had to come down and call him. Now you finish what's going on here.
So then you called me on the Skype, which if I answer your call, then I can't record it for the purposes of putting out an episode. So I hit decline, and then I called you, and when I called you, you mentioned the old days of people of our ilk, of back in the day where you'd call somebody collect and hang up so they knew you were, whatever.
To call you back.
You'd call you back or whatever pre-designated sign.
And what, not to step on you one more time, but I'm going to, the beauty that was, I barely started to mention that to you, and you immediately knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, of course. And there'd be the last 15, 20 years worth of kids would have no idea what a collect call is.
No.
I don't
know. Could you even do it?
I have no idea. I mean, where are you going to do it from?
Well, I seen a pay phone not too long ago. I don't remember where. I thought it was a honeypot. I thought it was some kind of a trap, so I didn't go over to it, but I certainly saw it.
You mean you saw the booth? Did you see the phone in it?
Yeah, and it might have been in Virginia Beach when I was out there seeing my son. It was a place where I thought, okay, only the lowest of the low. I think I remember the last time I used a payphone. And I don't know if I've ever told the story, but finish your story. And I'm going to talk about the time I think it was the last time I ever used a payphone that I can remember. Go ahead.
Well, first I was going to say, I did see, two phone booths or half phone booths and when we were out in Utah. And I actually walked over to them just to see if there was a phone in them.
Was there?
Nope. And now, so I don't understand why they left the little shell of it on the side of the building.
When I was I went to the Navy Exchange with my son in Virginia Beach, and they had a whole wall of them that were still looking at, but you know, I guess kids use them to call home or whatever, but he said they don't use them because after a certain period, they get, you know, after they finish boot camp, they use them in boot camp to make like a 5 or 6 minute call. Right. Mm-hmm. And then after boot camp, they get their cell phones after, like the school he's in now, he gets his phone. So after hours, he can go to his room. You know, I don't think he can take the class with him, but after 5:30 or whatever, six, whenever they get back to the room, they have a cell phone. So they don't even use them.
So the real question is, would Superman even exist today? If he was just getting started, what would Clark Kent change into Superman's outfit in, since there is no phone booth?
Well, Superman could walk around and in that costume, and he could pay Superwoman too, whatever he felt like that day. And this society will allow that to happen. Back in the old days, he had to change, but nowadays he can just be himself. Today he's Wonder Woman, tomorrow he's Superman, whatever he wants to be, he gets to be.
Oh, God. You know? So you're saying not only could he just be the superhero,
he could just walk around like it.
He could be any superhero he identifies as.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And he could say, I'm the Green Lantern, and somebody says, dude, your costume's red and blue, and he'd say, no, it's not, it's green. And we would have bureaucrats that would say, and elected officials would say, yes, it's perception is reality, and if he wants that red to be green, it's green.
Who am I to say to tell somebody what the reality is?
Yeah, who am I to say? Yeah, if they want to be Superman, they can be Superman.
So anyway,
that's not where we were going, but go ahead. We've already done run. We ran in the ditch at minute 7. Go ahead.
We ran in the ditch. Mm-hmm. Who's pulling us out? Anyway, my collect call story that I started to tell you, and you said you just got to share it, was I don't know, 20 years old, maybe 1920, and my buddy that I played high school basketball with lived in the town south of us. So he obviously was long distance from me. I was long distance from everybody. And you know, those back in the days when you didn't get a phone call every 5 seconds and we weren't getting texts or anything like that. So he's at his mom's and he wants me to come pick him up to go do something in a couple hours. And he says, hey, I'll call you collect. Don't accept it. That way you'll know that it's time, you know, I'm home and you can come get me. So I'm sitting there thinking and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this worthwhile. And so the phone rings and I'm prepared. And the operator goes, will you accept a collect call from, and I'm just going to use his name, Phil Crosso. So I got this old man's voice and I'm like, who'd you say? And she's like, Phil Crosso. And I go, Phil Crosso, I wouldn't accept a pair of tennis shoes from that man to walk a mile across hot lava to save my mom. Heck no. And hung up the phone. Okay. And almost immediately, the phone rings. And it's him just calling me back, dying laughing. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, that was one of the funniest things I ever heard. He goes, that operator, when you got done, said, well, I guess he doesn't want to accept your call. And started like, and I go, you do realize you just totally ruined the whole point of calling collect, right? He goes, it was too good for me not to call you back. So there you go. That's probably why collect calls went, by the way.
Yes.
By the way, reasons.
One of the many reasons. I think the jails still have them, don't they?
Oh, probably.
Because they're a money deal, right? I just remember the jail worked with in the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, so it would say, would you accept a collect call from Shane? Which segues into the story I'm about to tell about the last phone booth I was ever at. I worked in the early 90s. I worked in a jail. And then I went and went on into the road, what we call road deputies, you know. And I'm trying to think of how to frame this without making this guy look like a piece of shit. Anyway, not the sheriff, but a dude. So we had a deputy that was head of the drug unit, and he got fired for some nefarious activity. So the sheriff put me in there for a limited period. Why? So things got shooken out, mainly because he trusted me more than he trusted other people. I don't know why he did it. Maybe it was just poor judgment or something. But so, and I always thought that was stupid because I couldn't, there was no way I could really work undercover cases or any kind of real cases because like the most of these drug guys, especially back in them days, they all thought they were Miami Vice, right? And any cops or ex-cops I got working, they're listening, know what I'm talking about, right? They go into to undercover work so they can drive fast, wear long hair, and they pretend to be badasses or whatever. And some of them do a good job, but most of them are just posers, okay? So the guy I replaced was a poser, and I couldn't do the job because I grew up in that community. Everybody knew I was a fucking cop. I mean, if you didn't know I was a cop, you had to be retarded or not from there, one or the other. And maybe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So,
anyway, we had a guy named Jim. I'm going to tell his last day. He's working off a case. So what happens in the drug world is you get caught selling dope and you're a first-time offender or a low-level guy. Right. So they call you in or they go meet you and say, hey, you sold the judge dope. I'm just going to say Judge or Jason. Right. So you sell one of us dope. So me and Jason or Jason and I work in drug. You sell Jason dope and Jason's undercover. I go to you and say, hey, dude, you sold dope to an undercover. And you say, no, I didn't. And I show you Jason's picture. Said you sold dope to this guy right here. And you go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Well, we're going to make that go away, but you're going to take me to three or four other people that you buy your dope from. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not worse. Mm-hmm. So we had this crazy dude named Jim who at one time was, and I don't know who I was telling the story to the other day. I hope it wasn't on this program because I'd be redundant. But we had a dude, now you got to understand in the 90s when interest rates were high, good car salesmen and what they call F&I, finance and insurance guys, made a load of money. I'm talking $125,000 back when a new pickup was 20, right? And we had a guy that was the assistant F&I manager at a GM Pontiac Cadillac dealership, and he got on the crack train, and he just pissed it all away, right? He went from making $125,000 a year to working off a case at the local sheriff's office, right? Mm-hmm. And really what had got him so spun up, and he couldn't, I tried to explain that to him. He had, when the wheels were coming off and he lost his job and everything was happening, him and his wife, as what happens sometimes is you're happily married till the money runs out. So they had a domestic and part of their joint property was this dog, and the wife had the dog chained up in the front yard. Okay. And he took this GMC Yukon. I don't think it was an Escalade because I don't think they made Escalades at the time. But like the fanciest Yukon he could have, he had because he worked at the dealership, right? But he's supposed to be bringing it back. His wife, him, he comes home. Him and his wife get in an argument. She says, I'm going to call the dealership and tell him you're here with this truck. The cops were looking for it. One thing leads to another. And to get back at his crazy wife, he runs over the dog on the chain in the drive, in the front yard.
Okay.
So you can, I know murderers that are handled fairly well by the police. I know if I got a dude, I call him a friend of mine because I talk to him at length every time I see him, and he's a convicted murderer, right? He's been arrested one time in his life, and that's because he killed somebody. So you can kill a lot of people and be accepted by a community, but if you kill a dog, especially a dog on a chain, buddy, you are on the outs, right? So the cops obviously arrest him for this, and once word got out, briefings and different things that he was the dog killer. There was just an element of law enforcement that I hate to say picked on the guy, but freaking picked on the guy. So he's there trying to work off all these felony cases, and they're not necessarily dope cases so much as they are animal cruelty and some other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So he says he's got this gal. He's supposed to be buying this cocaine from a couple of eight balls. The real undercover guy there wants me to do it because he thinks he's already bought dope from this girl. He doesn't get along with this dude. One thing leads to another. So we set this whole thing up where he calls this girl and says, hey, I'm going to meet you. And she says, well, I can meet you. He says what he wants. I don't remember, 2 or 3 8 balls of cocaine. And she picked this entrance of this big trailer park. When I say big trailer park, a couple hundred trailers, right? Got 3 entrances.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, y'all have them in Ohio. You got giant trailer parks. They're kind of,
yeah, they're kind
of falling out of, yes, yeah, but you know, 30 years ago, they were there. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, we got one in town. It's like 120 trailers. That's
right.
Barely has 40 of them full.
And this is probably more, I mean, this is probably down to, yes, I mean, it was probably 120, like 3 rows of 30 or 3 rows of 40, you know, 20 on each street or whatever, you know, and they kind of loop together. But all that's to say is he's got limited information on this girl. I'm trying. He's got her first name, Dawn, you know what I mean? And he can't give us any other information. Because what you do is you try to do a background on the person you're meeting or the person this is doing, you know, because you want to know who they are. And cell phones were, I don't want to say in their infancy, but pretty rare. Some people had them. Like I had a bag phone, and we had not even flip phones. They were just, they were, I don't know if they was, remember the Nokia blue things? Remember that?
No, the Nokia Blue.
Yeah, so anyway, they were just a little... Anyway, we had to, the drug guys, we had county-issued phones, and but they were really rudimentary, you know what I mean, in that day, that you could call somebody. I don't even know if you could text, right?
Oh, probably not.
You know, but he had one because he was a doper, and she had one because she was a doper. You know?
So he probably had a pager.
So all that's... I did have a pager. I had many a pager. I got all kinds of pager stories. So all that's to say is we take getting his, he has this turd box like Mazda 626 or some kind of junk. I'm riding with him. I got this big, I know I told you this story. I used to wear, when I do the work like this, I had a New Orleans Saints team jacket, you know, like a FUBU team jacket, you know what I mean? All puffed up. And yes, that's what I'd roll in at. And I carry a Smith & Wesson Model 60 stainless 38 special in my pocket loaded with some, Winchester silver tips. I think 110 grain plus B plus silver tips. But all that's to say is this. We go and set up. Now, we got teams. Now, we're going to meet her at the entrance to this trailer park, and we have surveillance teams already setting up, watching the intersection, and they're going to film her sell me dope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't show up. She doesn't show up. She doesn't show up. And I'm saying, dude, you got to call her. And I think part of the problem with him calling her, his phone had an issue. I don't remember if he didn't pay the bill, but all that's to say is I didn't want to call her from my number. He said she only answers certain numbers. So when he set the whole thing up, we had to go to his apartment to call. And remember back when you could block your number?
Oh, yeah.
Before caller ID, it would just say number blocked or something, remember?
You could hide it. You could, like,
yes. And he said,
star something.
So what we did was we left that intersection. We left that by place. The surveillance guy's in place. We drove up to this break time that had, remember the phone booths you could pull up to? With your, the phone, oh, yeah, like the post, you could just pull up and roll your window down near them?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So roll up and we're sitting at this intersection. He's calling her on the phone to tell her, hey, ask her where she's at. And he says, and as we're sitting there, he's making the call. She goes across our bow, right through our headlights, you know what I mean? Because we're sitting up around the street. She's headed the direction where we just left, and dude, I know her. I know her from about 3 different ways.
Oh, boy.
Her mom was a long-term inmate at the county jail where I worked back when I was in the jailer. Okay, and she used to, every weekend, every like Friday night, she would bring her mom cigarettes. This is back when they could smoke in a jail. She would bring her mom cigarettes and candy bars. She'd bring her mom little stuff and drop it off at the back door of the jail. You know, mm-hmm. And then That's when she was, and then a year or two later, she wasn't much younger than me. I was going to school, even when I worked at the county, I was going to school at night or in the daytime. And anyway, there's a college there, Lincoln University, the oldest historically black university west of the Mississippi. But anyway, because I was trying to finish my degree in the criminal justice building, and she took classes. She was in the like psychology building or whatever. She's going to be a social worker, right? And I used to talk to her all the time in that building because she knew me from the freaking jail where her mom was, you know what I mean? And she'd tell me how her mom's, you know, getting straight or going bad, just depending on what they were at in their world. But she would talk to me, okay? So I'm like, dude, so she says, I just passed you guys. She said, I've got to go because she was delivering crack or cocaine to somebody else down in the trailer park, right? She's going to meet us first and then drive down to their trailer and do a second one. So she says, instead of circling back, she goes and just, I'll meet you back down there. So we leave. And of course, I'm calling these guys saying, hey, stay put. Here she comes. So instead of us sitting in the entry where we wanted, she was sitting there. So we had to drive around in front of her. Does that make sense? Because what he was going to do is we were going to be sitting there. And when she pulled up, they were going to pull up to her door, to Jim's door. That's the dude that was the bad guy. And do this. But since we're opposite, it's going to be my door. And I tell him at the last second, dude, you can't put me next to her. I fucking know her. He's like, what do you want me to do? And I said, pull around in front of her. And his pull around in front of her, I mean, you can't have a crackhead take good directions, right? So instead of pulling around and parking in front of her like taillight to headlight, he just freaking pulls in kind of almost like a 90 perpendicular, and her freaking headlights are right on me. Like 7 foot from the hood of his car.
And suddenly you're not so undercover.
So yeah, and I got this. Oh, so I got a cell phone and I got a Midland police radio with you know, a freaking handheld police radio sitting in the door pocket. I was trying to put it in the door pocket of this Mazda, but it wouldn't fit. So I set it between the door and this bucket seat. Right. So, cause as we're going, I'm calling and I'm calling on the radio. I'm doing two or three things at once, telling these guys, hey, this is what she's driving, blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, I know her. So it's changed, you know, he's going to get out and buy it. So he gets out, walks over to her window, and within about 30 seconds he's back to the driver's side window looking at him, goes, she wants to talk to you. And I said, do what? And he goes, she's trying to figure out who's in the car. She thinks she might know you. So I open this passenger door, and when I do that, police radio with a property tag on it, you know what a property tag is, right? Yes. Rolls right out the street, right in front of those freaking headlights. Bang, right on the pavement. So I pick it up, throw it in the thing. I walk over there, and the first thing she said was, hey, what's that? I said, what? She goes, that thing that fell out, that radio walkie-talkie thing. I said, it's a scanner. She said, a scanner? I said, yeah, like a police scanner. I was listening to make sure you weren't the cops. That's what I told her. She goes, you look real familiar. I got to know you from somewhere. And I said, where you live? And, of course, once I seen her, I knew where she lived. And she told me you know, the kind of the part of town. And I said, well, you're going to, it's Exxon station now, but it used to be, the original owner was called Scott. So I said, you're going to Scott's? And she goes, every day. I said, dude, I'm in there in the back playing back in the day when Cherry Masters, and you know what I'm talking about? I said, I'm in there playing Cherry Masters every day. And she goes, oh yeah, that's probably where I know you from. So one thing led another, she sells the dope to Jim. We get in the car and we leave. So that was the last payphone I think I ever talked to. It was the payphone to call her to make sure she's coming back down there.
And that just goes to show you how dumb criminals really are.
Well, I'm gonna go further on the story. So when you do all these dope cases and you get dope cases on dozens of people, you set with a prosecutor a lot of times, and they go through which one's the good, the better, and the best, right? And the dude that I had replaced had issues with memory and some other things, and he got jammed up for making bad cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when it come time to meet with prosecutor and all these people getting prosecuted, I didn't have the charge hard to pull the trigger on her. I said, that's not a real good one. you know, shaky because we use Jim as the informant, and he's screwed up in 10 ways to Sunday. So
you went easy on her?
Yep. Oh. It was Nolly Prost. Yeah, they did. It just went away. She doesn't know. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, she's a social worker. Mm-hmm. Her career panned out or worked out or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
I hope she listens to the show. You never know. She might have. Look, if she's really rehabilitated her life, she certainly listens to the show. I mean, come on.
I think that was the last phone call, phone booth, everything. I don't even know how I got a phone booth. Mm-hmm. Now the listeners are going to know why I've always sucked at being a cop.
Mm-hmm. I remember those little phone booths that you could pull up and talk to from the car and stuff. And oh my gosh. I'll tell you what, it sure is a lot nicer to be able to throw Bluetooth in and drive to where you got to go rather than sit.
Yeah, but you can't get away now. I remember being able to just drive and be left alone.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do remember that.
Right. People couldn't track you. People couldn't find you. You were just there.
You know what? You wonder how anybody ever got anything done. But we always did. We always managed to find some kind of trouble, some kind of fun, something.
I guess. I don't even know, man. I don't even know. Now you're depressing me. You had New Year's. What'd you do New Year's?
Really? You going to bring up that I sat and watched the Buckeyes lose?
I watched it, too. I thought about you. What happened on that deal? They need a better kicker. Wasn't the kicker got him? What happened? Something happened.
Yeah, he missed a field goal at the end of the game. But there's about three plays that
he should have straightened it out before then.
Well, yeah, they should have ran a couple plays to get him a little bit closer. But there was, they called a targeting call in the back of the end zone that then they wiped off. Uh-huh. They called the guy, said the guy didn't make it on 4th and 1, that they went back and reversed that call. And then Ohio State ran a fake punt, and they gave Georgia a timeout. Questionable whether the guy got the timeout called or not. And, I mean, you can't blame.
My brother says it's sports gambling that's ruining games.
Well, I don't.
You know what I'm talking about? Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, but the Buckeyes covered the spread, or Buckeyes would have won if you bet money on the Buckeyes.
Maybe but you don't know who's. I mean, you don't know who behind. Puppet Master back there says no. This needs to go the other way, or this needs to go this way.
Well, then it wouldn't behoove. Them to give any of the calls to Georgia.
I mean, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand. The only thing I understood about sport, the only thing I know about sports gambling is where they run the numbers out of the barbershop I grew up going to. That's the only thing I knew. Where the who owned the book and who ran the book and where to get your numbers. That's all I know about it.
Well, you know, they're making sports gambling in Ohio became legal.
Yes, okay. It's going to be legal in Missouri, too, by this time next year.
Yeah, it became legal on Sunday. And I do, through DraftKings, I do some fantasy football stuff. And so they're bombarding me with bet on the games or something. So I looked last night, and it was the Steelers-Ravens game. And one of the bets you could make was whether the Steelers running back was going to get over 65 yards, and whether the Ravens running back was going to get over 65 yards. And I thought, that's the easiest bet there is. You know, I mean, they got everything. Like, who's going to score the first touchdown? Are the quarterbacks going to have an over and under on a touchdown thrown or a touchdown and a half thrown? You know, just so much stuff that you could bet a dollar to Lord knows what on. So I looked at all that stuff. I'm like, this is kind of intriguing, but as far as like betting on who's going to win the game, I don't have any interest in that. It just doesn't make watching the game enjoyable to me.
Right.
I mean, it's bad enough when you're playing fantasy football.
See, that's another thing I don't understand.
I lost my big fantasy football thing this week. It was winner take all, and my guys did terrible. So there you go. So I made it all the way to week 17 and survived. It's just down to me and another guy, and he's gonna walk away.
How much money was it?
That's probably about $500.
Dude.
So, oh, I,
how you got money just to waste like that?
No. There was 18 teams in it. It wasn't $500 per person.
Oh, okay.
The total, it was winner take all. So it was what, $35 a person or something.
Oh, okay. Like
it wasn't, yeah. I don't have $500 to waste, as far as you know. If I got $500, it's going on racehorses.
That's right. You're not going to bet it. I had a friend of mine say, I wouldn't gamble. I'd play cards with it. He considered poker not gambling because that was like a game of skill, right?
Because he's in more control of the outcome.
Yeah, in his mind, right? Yes, that's what he'd say. I'm not gambling hard.
Speaking of that, now we've been on a Yellowstone roll here. Mm-hmm. I just watched the mid-season finale last night.
How was it?
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's going to die, and it might be all of them. I'm just going to tell you. They might all die. But I have figured out that Christie's tried really hard for 4.5 seasons or whatever to not let on, but she finally she can't hide anymore that she thinks Rip's better looking guy than me.
Oh, I thought she was going to try to transform into Beth.
No. She's too nice to be transformed. But I think she would like it.
You were supposed to say she already is. No.
No, I think she'd like me to transform into Rip. I think the only Rip I'm transferring is Rip. Was it Rip Taylor? Was he the guy who used to run around throwing confetti out of the paper bag on the Gong Show? Remember?
Yes. Was that his name?
Or was it Rip Torn? Was it Rip Torn? Wasn't it Rip Torn? Or Rip Taylor? I don't know.
Torn.
Oh, gosh. Uh-huh. That was another.
I can't gong you because I don't have a gong. I was looking for something to gong.
Oh, jeez. But on a sad note to start out the year, I was telling you, this little girl that
don't bring me down, man, because I'm gonna be talking about killing people.
I know, but
instantly I go from phone booths and letting criminals off to killing them.
I know, but this is a sad event here in our the next town over. But this girl went to school with my youngest Olivia, and she was working at the Dollar Tree, just got married. Just graduated with her bachelor's degree, getting ready to start her job, but she was working at the Dollar Tree, and some guy that, as far as we know, she did not really know, came in and killed her with a machete. They caught him, you know, really quick, but just awful news around here. And, we went through a Thanksgiving and a Christmas, and I did not hear from my kids, but I always send them texts and
so and I made answer sure. Them?
My one daughter Gabby answered with a smart out comment when I told her we all missed her at Christmas. She had a smart out comment, but I explained to her why her reasoning was a little bit off, and But I just reached out to Olivia.
So you tried to correct her bad behavior again. That's why she doesn't talk to you in the first place.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not going to look if their reason for.
You're too rigid. You're too rigid.
Too rigid. Well, she needed to know that her thought process was not correct, that we all did.
She's a teenager, isn't she? Still 19, 20. No. How old is she?
Oh, she's 23.
Okay, well, has she got more tattoos than kids?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, she certainly thinks she knows everything. But, I'm not going to hesitate to tell her that. And I didn't tell her she was wrong in a mean way. Just said, hey, look, we really do miss you guys. I'm sorry that you guys don't realize that. But, and I keep telling them, like, it's not just me. It's my parents. They're not coming to see and they're not communicating with. And my mom and stepdad, they're not going to be around forever. And, and that's going to be, it kills them. I know it does, so it's pretty sad. And then when you hear this and because you don't know what's going to go
on. Yeah, you're just one crazy away from dying, aren't you?
Absolutely.
It's because we don't let them, you know, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, and so, yeah, it's hard to see that happen and know that those parents, they really aren't going to see their kid again. You know, they're just, they're done. They're not going to get to see the kid. The poor girl's young husband, I mean, just his life's changed on a dime. So, you know, so, hey, so the moral of the story is, anybody listening, you know, hug your kids,
you know,
hug your parents. Cause you don't know when it's, cause a lot of it's out of our hands for sure. You know, but I let Olivia know that I was thinking about her, and I don't remember how close she was to this girl. I know when they were younger, they were friends and stuff. But you know, you get older and get in high school, and I think this girl was a cheerleader and Olivia was in the sports. They kind of probably didn't hang out as much, but it's still, you know, I remember when the first kid from my class passed away. It's how a shock.
Oh, I think ours was the summer we graduated. Got killed in a car wreck, truck wreck.
I think the summer after we graduated, not the summer, two summers, or, you know, the second summer after we graduated.
Oh, I think mine was right out of the gate, like July, August. Graduated May, and he was dead by August.
Wow. You don't even get a chance.
Well, you know, there was three kids in my big brother's class that were killed when they were a sophomore. Rolled a car over in a creek and all drowned. It was a big flooded, you know, highway goes down through a river bottom, and when the water backs up, you know how the fields flood up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And then they ran off the road on a, you know, midnight, you know, so the water was up on, I think it was a Saturday night. It was either Friday night or Saturday night, sometime between midnight and 6:30, they ran off the road and overturned big Ford LTD, and there was water in the field where the next day, I'm pretty sure it was Sunday, so people going to church could see the tires sticking up. You know what I mean? The water had receded, or maybe they were the first people in the daylight to drive by or whatever.
But hey, oh, wow. Car,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a terrible way to go.
Yeah, well.
Well, we can't. We got to have
something. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know how you encourage this damn thing. We just lost the three followers we had. Even Rich down in Arkansas probably quit listening to me after that.
I think, you know, our loyal listeners all over the world are like, okay, mm-hmm. we got to steer. We're going to have to steer it back.
To
at least something positive.
Well, back to positive. When you started telling me before you hit record, you used to tell me about that girl that got killed by some random. I was watching something with my youngest son today, and it was a Western. Remember that hanging the horse thieves? He was like a John Wayne type deal. And he's like, well, that's kind of, maybe I have a daughter walk by Miss NCIS or whatever she's always watching. She goes, they're going to hang you for stealing? That's kind of harsh, isn't it? And I tried to explain to him, well, back in them days, they justified that by thinking if you left a man on foot, you might have killed him. You probably killed him anyway, because they just couldn't walk from point A to point B, especially out west, without a good chance of dying because of food and water. You know what I mean? They just couldn't cover the distance on foot. You could with a horse. So if you're going to take a chance of killing somebody by leaving him a foot, by God, they're just going to hang you. And back, so think of all the nutty behavior that we as society allow instead of just taking these people out
and hanging them
or do something with them. But there's no reason to let these nutbags walk around. I mean, and I don't even know, this ain't a better note, but, you know, that's part of the world we're in, you know. There's some people that, you know, we used to have mental institutions and asylums and shit, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We don't have them anymore. Hell, we don't even lock up criminals, much less the nuts.
No, that brings me back to another one. There was a guy, God, 3 or 4 weeks ago, was sitting in town. Street over from the post office, cop got a report. He was in his car with a helmet, with a like a motorcycle helmet on, and a rifle on his lap, or a shotgun. So the cop come up behind him, and I think the guy shot at him. And anyway, the cop ended up subduing him, and he got sent down to a mental institution in Columbus and escaped last weekend. They just caught him yesterday in West Virginia. So how about that? Like, I don't know how you take a shot at a cop and don't end up getting shot back.
Well, it's because cops don't shoot back anymore, dude. Come on, dude. I have to tell you all about the Ferguson, Missouri, and the everything else, man.
Well, they do. They do. Those cops in New York City shot that guy that stabbed, got him with a machete.
That's probably made up. He probably owed the book some money on the Ohio game or something.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, I'm leery about everything now. It's probably a targeted hit.
So sports gambling has just taken over everything.
Maybe, I don't know. What I'm saying is usually you get shot nowadays. There's a reason to shoot you. You know, back in the old days, people just got shot because a lot of people needed shooting. Nowadays, they really need to shoot. Usually, really need to get shot.
Oh well. Well, we're starting the new year off with a bang, no pun intended.
Pow! Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.